a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome on in, everybody. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell to my right, firing things up here on the program, getting things going. We heard some sound from BYU's fall camp today down in Provo. Some words from the defensive coordinator, Eli Satuiaki. You heard from Isaac Rex on where his progress is on how he's healing up on that ankle injury. Probably further out than I think maybe most people had assumed. But that's where we're going to start things off here on the program. We're going to jump into the cut here on the show and get to a USF voice on their broadcast team, Joey Johnson, who's the sideline radio voice with the Bulls. And we're going to jump in right there with the cut. So let's do it.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Visit uofuhealth.org for more information. Joey Johnson joins us on the program, the USF sideline reporter on those Bulls broadcasts. And as we get going here, we're just two and a half weeks out from BYU going to Tampa to Raymond James Stadium to take on the Bulls. Joey, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, guys. We're looking forward to a college football season. It's coming fast.
My heavens, yes. A couple weeks away here. We're excited about it. Gary Bohannon gets the nod at quarterback. I don't think a lot of people were surprised by that. This is a guy who beat BYU last year. It's probably helpful to be able to walk in there and have some of that experience down there. How's he been received as the QB down there?
He's been received extremely well, and the fans are just now starting to get to know him, and I think I can say that they love what they see and they hear so far. I mean, Gary Bohannon is a guy that came in, learned the playbook in 2 weeks, became a leader almost before a first real practice, has the respect of everyone. He was completing passes at an 80% clip in fall camp and practices. And has just wowed everyone, not only with his physical tools, which are considerable, but just his presence, his leadership, and the kind of person he is. He is, I think he's going to be the face of the team, and he hadn't even played a game yet.
What was the draw to the University of South Florida? Why did he choose there?
Well, I think, number one, probably he saw an opportunity to play right away, even though he did compete against Tammy McLean, who was the incumbent player. I think he saw an opportunity for a team to get a lot better. USF has slowly built to the point where they think they're in a position to make a move this year and perhaps get to a bowl game and really elevate the program. Plus, I know he loves the coaches, Jeff Scott and the assistant coaches, Travis Trickett, the new offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. These guys are all young, energetic. They have built a really strong culture. very personable, very honest. The players love working with these coaches, and I think that certainly impressed Gary Bohannon. And I just think you saw a great opportunity to become the guy, and that's what has happened. And I know he's very excited about the weapons that he has on offense. And I think at times last year, all they needed was consistency, somebody to put the ball in the right place at the right time. And I think Gary Bohannon might be that guy.
We were this is not like a backhanded compliment or anything, because I think that most people. I think most people that follow BYU kind of forget about that USF game, but it was a lot closer than I think most people thought it was going to be here in Provo. And I think if you were to see that game and tell BYU fans, no, that team went 2-10 last year, you'd be pretty shocked by it, because they had something figured out with BYU at their place that kind of was a little bit more than just, you know, a team that felt like that they were 2-10. And so Jeff Scott, obviously, with a lot on his plate, and with only 3 wins under his belt in two seasons, where's this team at right now compared with even last year, when they seemed like they were pretty dang athletic when they came to Provo?
They were. I think every year it has built up a little bit more. The theme this year might be just all the new players they've gotten. They hit the transfer portal very hard. I think they had 21 new players in spring ball last year, from several Power 5 programs around the country. They really beefed up their defense. Their defensive line will look completely different. They added to their linebacker core, and they beefed up their secondary. The defense was a major problem last year. Their statistics were astronomical, so they believe they have improved greatly there. Otherwise, on the offense, they had a lot of people in place, a lot of skilled position players, some of whom played very well at BYU last year. Timmy McClain played very well at BYU last year, the freshman quarterback. If you remember that game, BYU got out to a quick 21-0 lead and looked like the thing was spinning out of control. USF somehow got its composure and played a great second half. Gave BYU all it could handle. And if memory serves, USF was forced to use some timeouts, probably some bad decision-making on using those timeouts. Anyway, they found themselves down by a score with 5 minutes to go. And I think realistically, they looked at their defense and didn't believe they could stop BYU. So they felt their best chance was to do an onside kick with 5 minutes to go, and they didn't get it. So that was that. BYU ran out the clock. But I think had there been a little bit more time, USF might have forged a tie and maybe found a way to win that game. They certainly played a great second half. And one thing I'll always remember, and I was down on the sidelines for that game, and I, you know, had never been to BYU. I certainly watched BYU over the years and was familiar with the program. But I think that environment was right up there with any I've ever seen. And I've been to all the stadiums in the South, all the SEC, ACC stadiums. I've been to Ohio State and Michigan. I'm putting BYU in my top 10, maybe my top 5. That is a tremendous atmosphere. But the USF offensive linemen had no pre-snap penalties in that game, which was very impressive to me, because that was as wild and crazy as a place I've ever seen. But the offensive line really maintained its composure and really helped lead them to climb me back in the game.
Well, BYU is the second best setting for a college football game in the state of Utah. There's the youth in him.
You know, I've been to a game at Utah. Yeah, I've been to a game at Utah, and I would agree that's a good one too.
See, Scott, that's Urban a good Meyer one too. You guys are okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, no, it's just a little fun. But you're right. I mean, Provo is a hard place to play. It's a great
game. Well, ASU had like 9 pre-snap penalties. I think half of that was just a lack of discipline on that team overall. Yeah. But, I mean, it does say something.
Speaking of environments, right, and I'm really curious about this, because I grew up in the West, very dry here, and I lived in Florida, played football in Florida. And I know how hard it is to adapt to humidity. And with this game being the first one of the season, and I know what the temperature's like in September,
middle of the day.
It's muggy, right? Yeah. And if you're not used to it. So how much of an impact do you think that will have on this game?
I think it'll have a big impact. And I'll preface it by saying, you know, I'm the sideline reporter, and I thank my lucky stars when I realized this game didn't start at noon. which could have happened. 4 o'clock is better. 7 o'clock would have been even better, but I'll take four over noon any day. But yes, when you play a game in Florida in September, it is an absolute sauna. And it you know, with the proviso of the rain could happen at any point too. I mean, it is something you've got to get used to. For those who have been to Florida, you know, there's heat and then there's Florida heat and Florida humidity. It's so oppressive. You're challenged to breathe sometimes. So I know USF fans are certainly counting on that being a factor in the game. They believe they have an opportunity here with BYU coming in for the first game in this humidity. They think maybe that type of situation might give USF something they can jump on. We'll see, but certainly BYU has got to hydrate and be ready, as does USF, because September games in Florida are no fun.
Killer.
To be on the field.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the fan base like in Raymond James? I mean, what's it like? Is it a big crowd, raucous crowd? Where are they about this team?
It used to be a pretty nice crowd when they were rolling. What's happened over time, it has chipped away, and now it's starting to build back up. There have been some games where it did not look good at all on television. Again, we're in a pro town. We have the Buccaneers, the Lightning, the Rays, all the major sports. And the truth be told, there are a lot of Gator fans, a lot of Seminole fans, Hurricane fans, Big Ten fans. So it maybe similar to maybe like a Pittsburgh or maybe even like a USC, the college program in a pro town. So USF, when not having success on the field, has to find its way in the marketplace. But I think the fans are perceiving that the program's getting better, that they have a chance to make a jump. And I think a very attractive opponent in the opener could add for a nice crowd. And I know there's going to be a lot of BYU people in that crowd as well coming down. So I think it has a chance, whether it's the percentage is high BYU or not, I think it has a chance to be a really, really nice crowd and a great season opener, considering how good the game was last year at Provo.
Well, and in 2019, the Bulls beat BYU. Zach Wilson was hurt and on the sideline, and then Jaren Hall, who's going to make that start game one, was knocked out of that game with a concussion, so they were down to their third-string quarterback in that game, and they ended up losing to USF down there. And I remember thinking to myself, this is a tough environment because you're just not used to being in this type of an outdoor NFL stadium in the middle of the season, and now it's the front end of the season. And so I think that it works to the advantage of, you're at this place that is a pretty darn cool place to play, and you got the big pirate ship on one end of the stadium, and you got the whole. I mean,
I like the sombrero better.
You got the
you played a playoff game in that sombrero reserve.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to remind me.
So that's what I'm saying is like BYU. I mean, Jaren Hall has to remember that game and go, look, I did not like going down there and losing that football game, even though it was 3 years ago, and this team is very different.
Yeah, you know what? That's one of those games that I'm still scratching my head how it turned out the way it did. I think USF it was one of those days where the ball bounced perfectly and they got the right breaks at the right time. I know BYU was threatening, and I believe the defense of USF got a sack or some big plays at the end, but gosh, I remember walking off the field thinking, how the heck did USF win this game? But they did, and they certainly will count it. And having a win over BYU is something that it can refer to. And I know, USF got a lot of confidence by going up to Provo last year and playing well. So, obviously, if USF can win the game, it's a monumental moment for the program to get off to a 1-0 start, beating a ranked team. So they are I think they're excited with this opportunity, but certainly we all know that BYU is going to be quite a tough team to defeat. But I'm excited about it. I think it's a great opener, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how both teams play.
Joey Johnston, USF sideline reporter for the Bulls. And as we look forward to it the next couple of weeks here and planning things out, and kind of it's just one of those teams that a lot that out here folks don't know a lot about what USF is about. When you said that they hit the transfer portal hard, it's an insane thought to think that that's where we've gotten now is like that's the recruiting method, right? And especially in the state of Florida, where you've got Florida, you've got Florida State, you've got Miami, you've got UCF. Oftentimes South Florida can get, you know, a lot of these slim pickings a little bit, but also guys who maybe had a shot at those schools and then found out that the better place that they might be able to fit is there with USF. And so how much of an advantage has it been to be able to say, okay, we're here in Florida, we'll pick up all these other pieces that maybe other teams here in this state have not been able to take advantage of?
Yeah, and you know what? That's been a thing even before the transfer portal. Back in the old transfer days, USF has really been able to get a lot of great players over the years that played in other major programs. Maybe it wasn't working out for whatever reason, and they came back. Maybe they were from the Tampa Bay area, but they've been really good at hitting guys on the rebound in the recruiting game. And now with the portal, of course, I think they see an opportunity to maybe get better a lot quicker. Of course, you've got to hit on these guys. We haven't seen a lot of them playing real games yet, so the theory looks good. But when BYU comes in, we'll start to see just how good these guys are. But they seem like they're bigger up front. They have a new defensive coordinator in Bob Shoup, a veteran who's been all over the place, including Mississippi State when they were number one in the country in defense. So I think they're going to have a better plan. I think they're going to have better players. They really can't be worse on defense, averaging in the high 400s or 500 yards a game. I mean, it was abysmal. So if they can just clean that up a bit with Gary Bohannon at quarterback, I certainly think they have a chance to be a lot better. And I think if all things hit, they are realistically chasing a bowl game, which will be a great result for Jeff Scott in year three.
So, excuse me, you have Oklahoma, Texas to the SEC. You have USC, UCLA headed to the Big Ten. Further consolidation of the power of college football. What kind of impact does that have on USF?
Well, USF is in the American Athletic Conference. It would love to have an opportunity to go to a place like the Big 12 or maybe the ACC. I think those are the most logical places. There's a lot of sense in pairing USF with UCF from an outsider standpoint. Now that the schools hate each other, UCF would not like USF to follow them, or the fans wouldn't. But I think it would make a lot of sense to have a travel partner, have two schools in Florida, and also lock up most of the state along the I-4 corridor. Here's the thing. USF has got to get better. They've got to start showing some things on the field. They are completing an indoor practice facility, $22 million, beautiful place. They are now almost to the point where they're going to start announcing things for an on-campus stadium, which they've never had. So they're starting to invest. They're starting to build. This is all down the line. Now what they've got to do now is win games and show that they can be back as a force and defeat good teams and be a postseason team. If they can do that, perhaps in the next year or two, if an opportunity comes around here in the Tampa market, they might be very attractive. But again, the biggest thing, they've got to start winning games again. They've got to show they can compete.
We love having you on here, Joey. Joey Johnston, USF sideline reporter, bringing us a little bit of insight for the BYU fans who can kind of get to know who that opponent is. So, Joey, we appreciate it. We're looking forward to being out there in Tampa on the 3rd, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet.
Yeah, thank you.
There you go. Hey, got to get to know these teams, man. I'll tell you what happens is you don't – 100% I think that the fan base is looking at that Baylor game at home. I mean, you love having the season start out, and you want to see how this team is going to be kind of put together game one. I mean, obviously you get excited about it. But people are waiting for Baylor at home. And that's a real – and that could be a real problem. I know that Kalani Sitake and his team are going to be dialed up, but there's that part of the fan base that go, I'll dip in. I'll watch that game, and I'll be all over it. But, man, the reality is that USF game one of the season – is an odd game. It's a
tough
it's a
start.
Weird spot. It's a weird spot to go to. Yes. It's a strange one for them, scheduling partner wise. Like, and this was just what you get in Independence, right?
You hope that you get an opponent that you can win, but it's an opponent that in the past has given you trouble. It's all the way across the country. It's hot, steamy Florida in September, and it's a real thing. And it's your first game. And so what you hope is you go, we've got a veteran team. We got guys that understand how to take care of business. And that's kind of the equalizer, you know, when you have right. these early season games, you know, guy, you know, where like Jaren Hall a year ago playing in this game might be a different scenario than him this year and having a better understanding. But you got to respect Gary Bohannon and you have to respect an opponent. The good side of this, though, is kind of not getting Baylor on the first game of the season.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, you kind of
right?
get some of the bugs worked out. But it is hard. It's hard to go across the country and come home and not have some kind of lag or letdown. And you're playing a very good opponent in Baylor. It's a bit of a challenging opening part of the season for BYU.
Yeah, and you know what? He didn't.
And then going to Oregon after that's serious.
So they didn't. Jaren Hall, he gets knocked out of that game against USF in 2019. The USF game last year was one that they stuck Baylor Romney in. And
right.
and that he didn't even play in that game. That was one of the games he missed. And so it'll be interesting because they haven't seen Jaren Hall in this, you know, this version of Jaren Hall and how good he could be, and is going to be pretty interesting. I forgot about that stretch of games. I forgot about the 66 points they scored against UVA. Like, what a weird freaking game that was. That was one of the most insane games I've ever seen. Now I'm looking at the schedule and I was like, oh my gosh, that was such a weird game. To have that thing go, and it was that's 125 points or 115 points scored in a football game. That's the one. I love those games, but man, it made you pretty nervous if you're a BYU fan for that defense. All right, we'll take the break. We'll come back. When we return, some audio that Hans and Scotty played today piqued my interest, and I thought this is going to pique Scott's interest too, because he started to talk a little bit about this. And about Joe Flacco replacing Zach Wilson, at least temporarily, at that quarterback spot for the Jets, as we are starting to find out more about that injury that he had. It might be a little bit longer road to recovery. But what one of these wide receivers said about Joe Flacco's ball that he throws versus Zach Wilson's, Scott's got some thoughts on it. So stay right here with us. Unrivaled continues, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.